Sam, if you could play FIFA against one professional footballer, who would it be and why?
You know, I lost to Tammy Abraham when he was playing at Swansea, and that still rankles. I would love a rematch against Tammy.
That time again, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the weird, wacky wasteland of the world's wildest and most wonderful pastime, where we'll be bounding blissfully into the breakdown of bits and bobs, broadly bridged to the beautiful ball game. Yes, that's right, it's BR Football Ranks, the preeminent podcast of the penalty provinces, the leading light of the League of Legions, and the supreme soaring sound of the soccer spheres. My name is Jack Collins, and I'll be your captain on today's voyage of discovery, steering this good ship through the treacherous waters of tittering title races and relegation dogfights across the globe. With me, as ever, are the other two crucial members of this ship. From up in the eagle's nest, telescoped his eye as he surveys the landscape and feeds back on what transfers are over yonder horizon, it's the emir of the exclusive, transfer insider, Dean Jones.
Hola.
And from the rigging to the ranking, it's the peerless pirate of the football world and first mate of the rank squad. Swashbuckling through your social media feed like Jack Sparrow crossed with Francis Drake, the rank god himself, Sam Tai.
Hello, mate.
Later on, we're going to be joined by a very special guest, a man who has won two Premier Leagues, the FA Cup and the League Cup, as well as being capped 26 times for his country. But before we welcome the mighty Jolyon Lescott into this studio, it is time for Hot Takes. Dean, do you want to get us started?
I do, and you go and have a breather in the
breather,
corner.
Yeah,
look, a new MLS season was underway at the weekend, and it brought a new MLS star in the shape of 16-year-old Efrain Alvarez. I say MLS star, he could become a world star very soon, because this lad is amazing. Made his debut for LA Galaxy and sparked a comeback win. They beat Chicago Fire 2-1. He was involved in both goals. Most won't have heard of this player yet, but there has been lots of hype around him as he's been progressing, even though he's only 16 at this stage. What makes this all so much more interesting is he's eligible to play for both Mexico and the US men's national team. At the moment, he's with the Mexican youth setup, but he was involved in the US setup before now. He's switched allegiance recently. He's giving the Mexican youth setup a go of things. Something happened at the USA that he hasn't really ever said quite what it was, but he also says the door is still open to one day return. Now listen, US really are going to give this a go because they have to. He is one of the most talented footballers I've ever seen at 16 years of age, certainly, but beyond that as well. Don't just take my word for it. Ibrahimovic said he is the best talent in MLS by far. And when, I think, I'm not sure I mean including himself in that, obviously.
He can't mean that.
No.
Obviously doesn't mean that.
Eric Cantona saw him play when he was just 9 years old, when he was in playing for New York Cosmos. He watched him and said he wanted to watch him play all day. He's an attacking midfielder. He's got a wand of a left foot, a little bit like Riyad Mahrez in the way that he curls things into the bottom corner. He scores goals, scores great goals. He's been doing it for LA Galaxy 2 while they've been building him up to get involved in the first team. He lands assists with incredible accuracy. He's got unbelievably quick feet to open up opportunities. And he's mature too. To look at him, you definitely wouldn't think that he was a 16-year-old. As I say, he was involved in the US youth national team from the age of 12 before he switched, now involved with Mexico's under-17 team. Now, he's unbelievable, and we have to be a bit careful, obviously, with kids at this age. Remember when Freddie Adu was breaking through, we thought we had the next Pele in our hands.
Heady days.
They're probably on a par right now, Freddie Adu and Pele. So his career didn't really pan out how he expected. But he has the world at his feet, Efra Alvarez, and we need to keep an eye on MLS, if for no other reason this season than to watch this lad.
So 12 goals in 18 appearances for LA Galaxy 2 last year when he was 15.
Unbelievable.
That's nuts for a 10, right? That's insane. That's unbelievable numbers.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah,
that's
not bad.
Sam's take
Sam, what sort of numbers were you getting when you were that age?
In
the playground.
Just leave that one. I'll come back. I'll make up a figure and I'll come back to you later on it.
A couple of things. So obviously the US will want him because he's really, really good.
Yeah.
But if he stays in Mexico, theoretically they could have a three behind the striker of having Lozano on the left, Diego Lainez on the right, and Alvarez through the middle. That would be unbelievable.
From the flip side of that, USMNT will want him involved with Christian Pulisic as part of their new era as they look to build on, you know, the disappointment of not making the World Cup last time around. They've already missed out on Gonzalez, who didn't sign for them. So
yeah,
it's very important, this tug of war, if you like, that's going to go on. As it stands, though, he is with Mexico, and they'll see that they're not going to let him go. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out.
Taking it back to a kind of MLS standpoint, Almiron obviously moved across in the window, has really started to ingratiate himself at Newcastle. They love him. He's so lovely to watch.
I love him.
He just looks like liquid on the pitch. And, you know, is that the floodgates opening? Can we see MLS as a kind of hotbed for new talent from across the Americas?
Yeah, totally. Almiron is the headline one, but like, look, Atlanta have basically gone and just used that money to replace, and they look to South America to find another talent. They ended up with Pity Gonzalez to replace him, and you see other MLS clubs then taking talent from South America or other places and then selling it on themselves. So that reputation of MLS is now changing, right? No longer the retirement league, more like the selling league.
Well, there we are. We have something on our hands. Sam, what's your hot take this week?
So there's been a lot of concern, hasn't there, after Sunday where Liverpool drew 0-0 with Everton, that Liverpool are throwing this title away. And I have to say they are at the moment. And I think it's not for myriad reasons, but Klopp's obsession with bringing Adam Lallana off the bench is definitely playing a part in Liverpool's inability to break teams down late on. And also belying some squad strength weaknesses compared to Manchester City. But I don't get it. I just don't get why Adam Lallana comes off the bench when you've got other players on that bench that could come on and make a difference. Daniel Sturridge has already done it a couple of times this season. He's personally responsible for 1 point at Stamford Bridge that Liverpool earned this season with an amazing shot. Xherdan Shaqiri, what's he done? Run over Klopp's dog? Like, why isn't he allowed on the pitch any longer? Like, early in the season, he was the go-to guy off the bench, and he used to perform.
Scored those two against Man United, obviously.
So also personally responsible for some comebacks. So like, I don't really get, like, Naby Keita, like £52 million. Like, you spent a year chasing him, a year waiting for him. The other week, Klopp was talking about how he's trying to play him into form. Played him like three games in a row, and there's just, we haven't really seen him since, won't bring him off the bench, and Lallana hasn't scored for 2 years. Like, his last goal was on the final day of the 2016-17 season when they beat Middlesbrough 3-0. Like, I can't believe you're looking to that guy to come off the bench to make an impact for you when you need it, when you've got three other guys on the bench that I think are clearly more able to do so and have shown this season, this year, over the last whole season, that they are actually capable of doing it. I don't understand why he goes to Lallana. He always has done. He's always turns to him, and he clearly trusts him. But honestly, Lallana, like, 3 years ago, fine. He was a Liverpool player, but he's not good enough for this team anymore.
Dean, can you make head or tail of it?
I can only see that he just doesn't want to lose rather than desperately wants to win. He clearly is becoming a bit cagey, particularly, I think, in away matches. I think he's concerned that if he really goes for it, then they're going to get caught out. And I think Lallana's kind of that halfway house in between. Well, he's capable of doing something around the 18-yard box, but he'll also do a job for me defensively, and I know I can trust him. I think that's where he's stuck at the moment, and I think it's pretty much the biggest problem Liverpool have got right now.
This is all well and good, but if Salah is scoring at the rate that Salah scored last year, does any of this matter?
He's only got one goal in the last six Premier
Precisely.
League games.
So Precisely. Is that more of an issue?
It is becoming a problem, and I think that it's not just his goal scoring. I think that I was looking at his expected goals isn't as high right now as it has been at previous times. Now, I don't know if that's because people aren't creating the same chances for him, or if he's not getting into the same positions as he was earlier in the season. But I think also the concern is the teams that he has been scoring his goals against this season. I know a lot of people are saying he's not scoring against the big clubs. He's not giving them the big wins that they need. And factually, it's pretty correct. I think Arsenal was the only team in the Premier League he's got a goal against.
He has scored quite a lot of goals to take Liverpool 1-0 up or to finish the game off, though. Like, he's definitely doing his part in winning those games.
Yeah.
He's always missed chances, I think, because he scored so many last season. We like to pretend that he didn't miss many chances. Yeah. He missed a ton of chances last season. Like, it was ridiculous. And he's missed a ton of chances this season as well. He's a high-volume shot taker who scores some and misses some. Yeah. And like, the way he strikes the ball isn't particularly clean. It's part of his charm. But it means that he's not that clinical. But like, in that situation where Salah's not finishing those chances, this is the situation where you bring someone else on to do it, right? And for me, that's Shaqiri or it's Sturridge. It's not Adam Lallana. So they can't be relying solely on Salah. But it can't be all on his shoulders. That's the reason Klopp went out and bought Shaqiri. Because he needed to lighten this load on Salah and Mane. And when the front three don't fire for Liverpool, which they are not right now, they still don't have any options. Now, that was the whole thing last summer. That's what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to buy the players that would relieve the pressure on these players. Arguably, he has them. He's just not using them.
Okay, Sam, in the predictions episode, you said that City would win the title. Do you stand by it?
Yes. When I predicted it, they were 7 points behind. Now they're 1 point ahead. What do you want me to say? No?
Dean?
There's not really a title race going on at the moment because Man City are going to win it as far as I'm concerned. Also, on the back of that, Pep is making the right substitutions at the right time. In the last game, he brought Raheem Sterling on very early on to try and change the flow of that game, and it worked exactly what he needed it to do. That's where I think the difference is going to be among these two teams, where Man City go on to win the league by 6 or 7 points.
Jeez, okay, Dino! 6 or 7 points is a big call. Right, let's move it on before you get murdered by a Liverpool fan. As usual, we put it to you to decide the third hot take, and the poll this week was tighter than it ever has been before. 31% of you wanted to find out if Juventus's Serie A cakewalk had affected their European potential. 32% of you wondered if we thought that Dortmund were bottling the Bundesliga. And the winner with 37% wanted to know what Real Madrid need to do to compete with Barcelona on a domestic level again. So obviously yesterday, Real Madrid's hit on the European stage, losing to Ajax, being knocked out at home, losing their status as Kings of Europe, was a massive, massive deal. But the way I see it, it's just a kind of bigger problem that's being shown in lots of different ways. Their league form has been so poor and their domestic form has been so bad for so long. I think it was inevitable at some point that this was going to happen. They nearly did this with Juventus last year when they had Ronaldo and Zidane. So for them to do it this year to Ajax isn't that much of a surprise to me. They're already 12 points behind Barcelona this year. And I think the Champions League last year papered over the cracks in their league form. So let's get to the base of the problem. There's two strands here. I think one being the kind of managerial successor to Solari and another being the players they need to bring in. So let's get into it. I suppose we start with the manager. There was a period a couple of weeks ago where it looked like Solari had managed to somehow get everyone back on side and it looked a little bit rosier, but that has fallen through the floor with a couple of bad defeats in both Clasicos and, you know, also this their kind of form falling off. Who's the successor? Is it Pochettino or is it Allegri? This is something that's been linked this week, you said.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Pochettino's definitely still in the frame. I think that Allegri is also in the conversation. I'd heard this a little while ago and I've seen a couple of places now reporting that Allegri could become a contender for this job. I've also heard on the flip side of that that Zidane could be the man that replaces him at Juventus if that happens. So that's an interesting one to watch out for. Also, have you seen Mourinho's been basically talking about the fact he's linked to Real Madrid? I mean, I'm not sure who's linked him to Real Madrid.
He's linked himself.
Yeah, I thought so.
It's quite a good strategy, to be fair.
Yeah,
he's just talking about something.
He knows
else.
It's going to make the headlines, so yeah. People will just presume that there is something in it when hopefully there's not. So I don't see that as the solution, but they do need to ditch Solari if they're going to move into a new era, I would imagine. I'd also say they probably need to ditch Bale, possibly ditch Modric.
The Ballon d'Or winner?
Yeah.
What?
He's getting past it. You can't have the Kroos and Modric combination that we've seen, unless they're going to resurrect what they were formerly capable of. I think that one of those two needs to be replaced long term, and I think that Modric is the one out of those two that I would decide, okay, we've had your best days, let's move into a new era. Need to ditch Marcelo as well, by the way. What you need to do is you need to sign a Ronaldo replacement. They never did it, and you cannot afford to not replace somebody that scores you 50 goals a season.
Is there a Ronaldo replacement? Is that the big question? Does that player exist?
You either go and buy an out-and-out goal scorer, so you go and get a Jovic or a Lewandowski, or you get a kind of Galactico figure like Eden Hazard or Mbappe. Go and do whatever it takes, because Mariano isn't the man, it turns out. You also need to embrace the other players you've already got at the club. So Isco, Vinicius, Odegaard's coming back. Brahim Diaz is there. Asensio's there. Like, we haven't really seen Brahim Diaz yet, and I imagine that they're just biding their time with him. But there are talented young players ready to go. They have got a new generation coming through that just need one or two superstars added to the mix to freshen things up in that sense as well. And they need to start winning home games because they've lost six this season, and that's obviously not good enough.
Sam, if Real Madrid could only sign one player in one position, Who would you have them sign?
Come on. They've got so many issues.
Where is the biggest issue? What if they had to sign one figure? Would it be a striker, someone like Lewandowski, who, you know, comes in and spearheads the side? Because, like Dean says, there's plenty of talent here. Yes, they have issues. Yeah. I completely agree. But, you know, this is still a talented side full of, you know, world-class players.
Well, the quickest fix would still be to sign the goal scorer, because it's the same thing we've been talking about all season and we talked about in the summer. They basically, a lot of people still don't realise this, they can't defend. Like, yeah. Ramos and Marcelo on one side together is an absolute car crash of a defensive line, or half of it anyway.
Solari appears to recognise this because he's dropped Marcelo, right?
He absolutely has. And Ramos is still a massive liability for lots of different things. He can have his good games, he has his really bad games. The way Real Madrid used to get away with that is they just used to outscore people, and Ronaldo was the reliable figure there. Now he's gone, they didn't replace him. The defensive issues that have always been there, but have just been papered over, are springing to the fore in the form of like 13 losses in one season and counting. Like, Wolverhampton Wanderers have lost fewer games than Real Madrid.
Wanderers are a very good side.
They just got promoted to the Premier League. Like,
they're a very good side.
It's ludicrous, that record. So the quickest fix is to start papering over those same cracks again with goals. So maybe Lewandowski or an Mbappe. Obviously, what they need, though, is like four players, and they need a new half of a defensive line.
Mbappe is a ready-made Galactico, isn't he? Like, I think that he's an amazing fit for Real Madrid. I don't think you could get him right now. I think it's going to take a hell of a lot of money to do that, but it's worth a go.
I mean, theoretically, the ready-made Galactico, even on a higher level than that, who's been making overtures again at Real Madrid this week, is Neymar. Is that plausible?
I'd still go to Mbappe ahead of Neymar, to be honest with you. I think that there's too much baggage that comes with Neymar, and you really don't know what you're going to get long-term out of him, or how long he's going to decide to turn up for. Plus, there's all going to be the stuff that comes along with the fact he was a Barcelona player. So I would actually steer clear of that and go straight to Mbappe.
Right, so what we've decided today on how Real Madrid can compete with Barcelona is they get a new manager, they sign a goal scorer, a couple of Galacticos, replace half their defence and their centre midfielder.
Yeah,
sounds good to me.
Young players.
Sounds like a job.
Florentino, are you listening?
Yes, there you are.
Well, we are prepared to take an advisory role at the Bernabeu.
for a certain fee. Well, that's probably it for hot takes. And so now we're going to be joined by a man of many clubs. Man City, Everton, West Brom, Aston Villa, Wolverhampton Wanderers, Sunderland and AEK Athens, to name them. Julian Lescott, he'll be talking the world of FIFA and in particular five of the footballers who made great FIFA opponents after the break. Welcome back to BR Football Ranks, where we are delighted to be joined by double Premier League winner and former England and plenty of clubs international, Julian Lescott. Julian, it's a pleasure to have you here, man.
Good morning, guys. Pleasure to be
here. Cheers, Julian. Appreciate it.
And we're going to be talking about FIFA and some of the players you've played against at FIFA, some of the stories you got from that. So I suppose it's best if we just sort of crack into it and see where this one goes. So we'll hand it over to you, man.
Yeah, no, obviously, avid FIFA fan, doing some work for them now, and obviously in the esports space. So I started off like early, before you played online. Now it's the only way you play. I play with my son online. Yeah. And we're in the same house, so you know what I mean. It's like it's the only way to play games.
How old's your son?
He's 15.
He's better. You are
no. he's getting better. I'm not gonna lie, he's getting better. But I literally play a lot, so I'm serious about
it. He's got
it.
Some work to do.
Yeah. But no, he's a gamer though. There's difference. Like, and now I'm playing online more and playing a high level of player. You get to see who plays FIFA and who is a gamer. I'm just a FIFA player. I don't play another game, so I'm no good at like Call of Duty and stuff like that. Then get a headache after 10 minutes running around, and it's just chaos. Where FIFA is like, I can play FIFA. Where my son is a gamer that obviously decent at FIFA, but so all the skills and all the skill moves, he knows all them, but tactically,
no way.
Miles off it. He's miles off it.
Crack on with number five then, Julian. Who would we start with?
Sean Wright Phillips would be in there. Yeah, I'll say Sean, because I say we're friends for a long time and kind of got into the first teams, respective clubs at a similar time, and then spent a lot of time away international duty. But he's a gamer, so as more games came out, he's passion for FIFA kind of diminished, and then I was just started to work him. So yeah, Sean would
be
in there.
You like him because you beat him.
It's a good fit. So yeah, Sean would be.
Was he playing from New York? Because he played.
No, I haven't. To be fair, he's. I was with him obviously recently. No, he's he doesn't play FIFA as much now. He's more Call of Duty and stuff. As I said, he loves gaming more than I only have FIFA. I don't have any.
So basically, you owned him, so you just enjoyed
it. Yeah, yeah. So we played, and obviously, when he thought it was close, he wanted to play, and then when he realised it's not that close, oh, I don't really want to play anymore. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Started playing other games to get away from you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's avoiding me. Turned off his online status and that,
and moved to America.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, who else is in there? The players you've played against that you know that stick out to you, I guess.
Stick out in terms of decent would be Daniel Sturridge. Again, I think he's more of a FIFA player, not just a gamer. I think he plays other games, but majority FIFA. But yeah, he was decent as well. But yeah, nah, it was close at the start, and then when I kind of figured out what he's good at,
what was he good at?
Obviously, very skillful. As I said, most gamers tend to be able to do all the skills. That's what you kind of find out. So then you can obviously pick apart their strategy and stuff like that.
Are there any footballers that play as they actually play football?
I was going to ask exactly the same question. Yeah. You know, if Daniel, he's always come across as a skillful player on the pitch, and then does that translate?
I don't know.
Play like he plays?
Yeah, to him it did, but I'm not sure.
Are you like really good at headers on FIFA?
No. I wasn't that great anyway. But no, I kind of see the patterns, so that's how I play FIFA. Kind of set it up. I'm like Pep, you know what I mean? Just keep it moving. You know it's going to work. So just like Pep are there. But no, Studge is decent. A lot of battles. But as I said, I think it was the Euros, to be fair. Was it Euros? Or was a camp, an international camp again. Spent a lot of time playing.
Yeah, together. How much time do you guys spend in those events? So you get a lot of downtime, right? So yeah, how much FIFA goes on?
There's a lot of FIFA. There's a lot of stuff, to be fair. Like pool and that. Just relaxing, just to kind of switch off, even though you're playing football away from training, so you're not really switching off, but yeah, it's just relaxing. Tiger Woods is another game that gets played a lot.
Oh, really?
Well, used to get played a lot because, as I said, I never play golf. It's too cold. but to kind of, I knew how to play Tiger Woods or PGA Tour, so I kind of developed my knowledge of golf through that game, and that's what you're kind of finding now with FIFA. There's a lot of people that play FIFA that don't really watch football, don't really know about football, but you would know players,
especially in America. I mean, that's why kind of football's taking off, because they get into FIFA first and then everything else comes afterwards.
And the knowledge of the game is so crazy that it's so close to real life. You tend to find out, oh, it's decent him on FIFA, so let me look out for him in real life. And that's kind of how it develops your knowledge and stuff. I've got friends that work in media that I tell them, like, you need to let your kids play FIFA, and then they'll tell you about players that are coming through, and like, Dad, have you seen this so-and-so? He's really fast. I'm like, it's not real, mate. But then you realise that it is.
It is, yeah. Like, the ratings are real, yeah.
So
the kind of development, I suppose, from that kind of side of it, where as a lot of people used to go into Football Manager and they still use those kind of statistics from Football Manager, often on Sky Sports News or whatever, that and managers used to use. Yeah. Famously, Jose Mourinho said that his scouting network utilised the network. Yeah. Do you think FIFA's having that kind of effect, the kind of wider grow of the game, and how it seems so much more developed than it was, I don't know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and that is having an effect on how people see the game in real life?
Yeah and no. It's good and bad, because, again, my son believes that you can do them tricks, but how often do you see people, Neymar?
What's your son like at football, by the way?
He's decent, technically, yeah. He's like a FIFA player. Technically, he can do stuff, and then you're like, that doesn't really work like that. You know what I mean? You don't just do a trick and get past someone every time, you know what I mean? So it's great in the set that people enjoy it, and it's encouraging people to express themselves, but it's not real, you know what I mean, kind of thing. I'm still yet to see a goalkeeper get sent off. So, you know what I mean? It's not that close. But going back to like Football Manager, my older brother played that avidly, and yeah, the knowledge of football from that game is crazy. There's a story of, I don't know if you've heard the story of Alex McLeish, that his son played, and off the back of it, told him to go and sign a player from Barcelona. There's a player in Barca B.
Right.
We need to sign him decent. And it was Messi.
I remember they took a loan approach.
Yeah, they tried to get a loan. Rangers at the time. But Barca said, nah, he's close to our first team.
He's a good player. We're going to keep him.
Yeah, that was just off the back of Football Manager. So
they tried a few more as well. I think Iniesta was mentioned in a sort of similar conversation. Yeah, basically the SPL sides just tried to get Barca's academy at the time when these were like the golden
kids. I wish that had happened.
Oh,
Yeah. Imagine.
Crazy, yeah. But that's the saying. It's so kind of knowledgeable, the games now. There's so much research going into them. So, yeah, fair play.
Who else sticks out for you, I suppose?
Must be a sore loser or something.
Yeah. Yeah, the biggest loser, Wayne Rooney.
Oh, God. Really?
Like, yeah, he's decent, can play. Played in a few tournaments in him, like FIFA tournaments. So, beating him, you can see the rage. He's just real. But, yeah, when we, again, spent a lot of time away with him. In England camp, so
he was the captain. Was he still the captain at the time?
No.
Before he had that responsibility.
Yeah, and it was obviously it's in the room, so it's just me and him kind of thing. But early doors, that was still Wayne Rooney to me kind of thing. So seeing him just lose it.
When you say lose it, what do you mean?
Oh yeah, yeah. Like you know, you just grip a pad and you can just hear it. Just like it's like all gonna break. You can just hear it, stuff's going on inside the controller. But yeah, he wasn't the best loser. He wasn't the best winner either, to be fair.
I can't say any of this surprises me, but
yeah,
it's a good
he's
story.
Very passionate. But yeah, he would play how you see him play real life. He's kind of how passionate he is about.
Was he good?
Yeah, decent. Again, he's all right, to be fair to him. He wasn't as good as me. There's only one player, obviously get to number one, that I'm gonna say I would be nervous. If it was a competition, a final of a competition, I'd be nervous.
Only one player. I suppose the kind of logical step for number two is there. Who was your biggest like rival?
This is my best mate, Jordan Stewart. Played a few clubs and that. Grew up to him, so we'd known each other before football. Like played in the same district team, like 7-8 kind of thing. And just played, and we play now. He lives in America, so the time zone he has to come online is crazy, to be fair to you. He's probably up now.
Like, waiting for you.
Yeah. We've got a FIFA group chat. So, he's active in there. But he's the longest rivalry I've had. So, even before FIFA, like Pro Evo.
Oh, really?
And it was I don't know if you remember, winning 11. So, that was like a Japanese game that literally no English. So, we learned how to play this game with no English. So, you'd learn the settings. And then you just learn how to set up a game.
Well, so it's all with Japanese characters.
Literally Japanese. Everything was Japanese. So you.
How did you learn that?
By
trial and error. Trial and error.
You just went through and it didn't work. So you'd come through and all of a sudden you'd be in the control setting. So you'd come back out and then you'd go again and then you'd write it down. Literally, we could set up games, change players. He's only because it was R9 back then as well. Ronaldo, they had a mad symbol at the end of his name, so as long as you had him in your team, you were fine. But he was he's the biggest rival I've got, and we've got a league, to be fair, with friends, not players, friends that so we every year, every FIFA, we change our strategy. So we've gone from everyone picking every player to no one having the same players because it gets boring at times. So literally we had a draft pick. So we played as a club team. So we were like, I was City, he was Real, there was Juve and Bayern and all that. Just the club teams. And then whoever won our little mini tournament got first pick, second got two picks, third and then so-and-so. So then we would trade between us kind of thing. As long as the trades happen in the group,
yep,
no one could comment. So if people were direct messaging each other, then you got fined kind of thing. But as long as you were trading actively in the group, no one kind of cared.
So who's the first pick? Who was always first pick?
My first, Messi. Always. Yeah, I only shoot with finesse. So he was he's the go-to.
Even on the FIFAs where in the last couple of years, you'd argue that Cristiano Ronaldo. Most people would say Cristiano Ronaldo's been better.
Yeah. But I'm Team Messi. So just because my two, Jordan and my other best mate, who's a gamer as well, they're Team Ronaldo. So I'm not saying I believe Messi's better or who's better. I just wind them up. I love the fact that they're saying that, I'm going to go against that.
Yeah, go against the grain.
Oh, 100%. So I got Messi and I was going to choose Ronaldo just because I know they wanted him. I didn't even want him.
Yeah.
But they was like, your team Messi, so you can't shoot. I said, okay, I'll have Messi. And then after he got Ronaldo, Jordan, and literally 3-4 weeks in, he's struggling. So I'm just getting in his head. I'm saying, he doesn't want to play for you. Trade him. He's not working and all that. And then got in his head so much, I traded, give him two players, and he gave me Ronaldo.
Oh, my God.
Which two players?
I don't even care. I don't even care who it was. He could have took anyone.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So, yeah.
I want to know if it was the reserve goalkeeper.
So I ended up, and then another friend who was at the time was top, but he was feeling himself that much. He thought he was the best player. What I knew is because he had Pierre Aubameyang. So I was like, oh, you're that good? Yeah, give me Aubameyang then. He's like, okay. I was like, cool. So I had Bale, Neymar, Messi, and Ronaldo. All them players. Literally, that was it.
You get inside people's heads.
Oh, I was in there renting out rooms. I was in there. So
did you do this on the pitch as well when you played?
Nah. To be fair, I never. Couldn't grasp that how people used to talk. When I play against people that I knew and they were trying to talk,
Did you get that a lot?
At the start, yeah, because people try and just distract you, but I just never entertained it. So they stopped.
Well,
I'm looking forward to this.
We're all lined up for this number one pick. You know, the person you'd be worried about getting in a final. Who's it?
Victor Anachibi.
Yeah. Is this from Everton days?
Yeah. Okay. So again, spent a lot of time away trips. And first went there, obviously, it's weird because you assume, like, people assume that, oh, we're playing the Prem, you're better at FIFA. No, it doesn't work like that. So I'd obviously come from Wolves, and him and James Vaughan, a few years younger than me, obviously they were the gamers. The squad was quite old, so there wasn't that many players of FIFA. So, and again, it was Pro Evo, and we switched over, but the gameplay was similar. The old Pro Evo was similar to the new FIFA kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we started off on that. And as it goes, it's, can you play? Yeah, I'm like subdued, kind of, yeah, I can play.
That's the standard response, though, isn't
it?
Yeah,
well, not anymore. Are you any good? We'll get into that after. But like, back then, it was like, yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah.
And then someone was like, nah, he's decent. I was like, nah, I'll play. Obviously, I'll play, but I'm all right. And then we play. And none of us want to play each other. Like, we're trying to play everyone else and just watch everyone else play each other just to see kind of how it goes. And then we play, and him and James Vaughan's like, yeah, we'll play. And then we used to have rules. Oh, funny. Obviously, everyone plays 3-0 and you're off. So saves time waiting. This is, again, we've gone away trip. So it'd be like, you get to 3-0, get off, you're not coming back. Or you can run the risk of coming back. But if it gets to 5-0, you used to have to go and stand outside the room until your time was to come in and play. Oh, my God. So me and Victor, the amount of times James Vaughan was outside, standing outside, and we say, can I come back in? I was like, no, it's not finished yet. So we'd be standing outside the game and that we'd just be playing. So that was good. But me and Vic, like the battles we used to have, and it was tactical, everything, the passion, it was like deadly serious, to be fair. And we don't play each other that often now because he stays on PlayStation. I'm Xbox. Obviously started on PlayStation, but so we don't play each other, and we use that as an excuse. I don't play Xbox, I don't play PlayStation, so that's the reason why we avoid each other.
But right.
Yeah, I wouldn't be confident. I'd rather face like a pro.
Really?
Yeah, but only because I'm not.
You've got nothing to lose, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to beat a pro, you're a pro, so you know what I mean? That's the way it goes, but nah, he'd be the top player.
What were you saying earlier about, you know, the standard response back then was like, oh, I'm all right. Has that changed?
Yeah.
So 100%. What's it like now?
It's, you believe you're the best. Like, it got to a stage where now, if you're asking someone, a professional footballer, what's he like at football, they'd probably say, yeah, I'm okay, I'm being lucky, and yeah, I work hard. Standard media response.
Yeah.
And they have worked hard, so credit to them. If you ask them if they're good at FIFA, yeah, I'm the best. Yeah, I'm the best. Like, it's totally, and it's like you're allowed to say that, you're allowed to speak like that. When it's the gaming world, you know what I mean? You kind of say,
I want people to do that in real life.
Yeah, it'd be good. It'd be good. But obviously, there's only a few people that can say that, you know what I mean? But FIFA, you don't know. How are you going to know? How are you going to know if I'm the best? So,
got to play.
I'm allowed to say it.
We're going to get loads of people writing in now saying they want to play against me.
So you have to vet them first.
Yeah, come on. Let's get them play Sam first. Yeah. Sam's done with FIFA 19.
I've sworn off FIFA 19 for the year, unfortunately.
You have? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why?
I said something stupid about 3 podcasts ago and I can't play it anymore.
Yeah, Sam didn't like the game.
I don't like FIFA 19.
It wasn't very good.
FIFA 19 irritates
me. Yeah, people say that when they're not
good. Yeah, that's what I thought. But
do you like it? Do you like FIFA 19?
Yeah.
I do?
I love it. So that means I'm great. Joking. Nah, but yeah, I was the same. I think it might have been 17 or 18. I was the same. I played, but I wouldn't go on the ultimate team because it just got to the stage that if you did a trick, you got past the defender and it just wound me up to the point of where they're not appreciating that defenders can win games. He was just like, oh, this most skillfulest player.
You took it to heart.
Yeah.
Spoken like a true centre back,
Joe. Yeah. I was like, nah, I'm not having it. So I kind of laid load on, I don't think it was 17, but now I'm all in for this one. There's a few tricks that they've they've made it easy for me.
Oh, really? Yeah, your reading of the game was much better.
Yeah, the four-star skill moves at that, they're a lot better.
Well, let's get on to some roulette questions. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Be Our Football Ranks. We are ready for Blucher Roulette. Jolyon, you're going to set us off this week. What you got out of the wheel?
From Oshikuri Samurai, what went wrong with Arsenal after their fast start?
Shouts out to Oshikuri, by the way. He sends us loads of questions.
He's your biggest fan,
he always engaged with the podcast, always sharing it. Fair play to him. Shouts out, man.
Lost a couple and then went on a 22-game unbeaten run, so they're certainly not in that right now.
Yeah. Consistency, obviously, in the greatest respect to them, was they deemed to be title contenders? Not really. So the fact that they aren't, is it a surprise? I wouldn't say so. It's necessarily a surprise that they haven't maintained that. They always had the capability of doing what they did in terms of going on that unbeaten run because of the players they have, but the longevity and the history suggests that their current squad, and it would have been a lot for to expect that Emery would have created a team after a window to maintain that start.
What's it like when a new manager comes in? I mean, obviously Wenger was in charge for a ridiculous amount of time, but have you been at a club when a manager comes in and there's wholly new ideas and new players? What's that like?
Yeah, that was, again, Man City. Manuel Pellegrini came in, and so I would have been 29, 30. Obviously, working under Mancini and mainly British managers, but they kind of had a similar way of defending strategies and philosophies where Manuel Pellegrini came in. It was totally new. I was learning something for the first time, and it was like, I think West Ham do it now, basically, all they tried to do at the start of the season. So until the ball was crossed the 18-yard line, defenders are not allowed in there. So you literally are waiting on the edge of the line. So unless the ball goes in, you can't, it's like falling off the edge of a cliff kind of thing. So people just used to read it and just be like, well, we'll stand offside. So as soon as your winger beats the one-on-one, you can't recover. And that was like totally new. It was like I'd never kind of got it. But again, it worked at the time because we had Sergio Aguero, David Silva. So if you do go one behind, pass the ball to them. Yaya Toure, they tend to do what they
do. Wasn't a bad tactic to have to go to, was it?
That was kind of thing. But at the start of the season, when you see West Ham kind of doing it, they don't have them players to kind of get them out.
Do you recognise that when you see a manager at a different club? Yeah,
100%. It was funny because it's... Everybody probably would know, all the analysts know that they're doing it, but then you've got to have the players that can affect...
Make it work.
Yeah, but also, if you're playing against that, the players, you'll know the difference. Like James Milner at Liverpool, he knew what they were doing. So early in the season when they played Liverpool, he's got in three or four times knowing that just put the ball across, like third man run basically it's called. So it's on the left. As soon as you come inside, don't even look. Just dink it far. They will be on the edge of the box. Someone just make that run and you'll be in. And they kind of did it a few times and they were getting caught out. So
they played them first game, didn't they? Liverpool beat West Ham 4-0, I think it was. Yeah, 4-0.
But you can just see, I knew that was coming because I've seen it before. And as I said, it's great when you've got the players and it works, but when it doesn't, it does look strange because we tried to do that against Barcelona and that was when it was like Dani Alves that was just getting in and we were like, we know he's going to get in, we know, but you can't, you're just trying to implement what the coach has asked. So
that must be difficult.
Yeah, it is, but listen to the manager. You do what you're asked to do and what you're told to do.
Just a point on that, maybe the bigger surprise for Arsenal's unbeaten streak because it went on so long. Like, I did go to some of those games and they were pretty lucky to avoid losing some of those games.
It was all second half turnarounds, wasn't it?
Really? Like West Ham, Everton, Watford at home, all games that they weren't necessarily that good in.
Wolves.
So it got overblown to an extent, I think, based on the fact that they were quite fortunate to get that far.
That's what Arsenal never had. They've never won games when they didn't deserve to or been lucky. They've only blown teams away. And that's the kind of consistency they need now. They need a blend of, we know Arsenal can play football and win comfortably at times, but can you grind out results when it's not going so well? And so hopefully if they get that, then they'll be real title contenders.
I think the fans at the time were pointing that out and saying this is a welcome change.
Yeah, yeah.
They were no longer just smashing people 5-0 at home and losing every week away. They were grinding out results, but they're about where they're expected to be right now. So in the end, they've basically ended up in the same situation points-wise.
Just fighting for top four, really.
All right, DJ, do you want to spin the wheel?
Which three players would you want on your bachelor party? I mean, I'm not friends with any big name footballers, so that'd be really weird to invite them, but I'll send out the invites anyway and see what goes down.
I think who responds.
Slide in some DMs.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think I'm going to go for... I look towards the England lads, I think. I'm going to go Dele Alli. I think he'd be good to have on a bachelor party.
Yeah.
I think, not going to go into any more than that, but I think Dele would be good fun. who else would be good? I think looking from afar, how much fun they had at the World Cup, I think that Jordan Pickford seems to enjoy himself as well, away from the pitch as well as on it.
And I was going to say Pogba there as well. He had a lot of fun at the World Cup.
Yeah, well, I'm sticking to the England team for now. This is my bachelor party is purely English players. So yeah, because I'm going to go Dele, Jordan Pickford, and as the third one, I'm torn. Either Raheem Sterling or Kyle Walker, I'm going to go.
Mate, go John Stones.
No.
Stonesy.
Well, you can pick him.
I love him.
Me and Stonesy don't get on.
I was going to go all French, but...
I was going all French. Stop stealing my ideas.
I'm going to go for Kyle Walker just because he seems mad.
Fair enough.
But, well, Pogba and Mendy are coming on mine, and I'm having Stonesy. I'm back in Stonesy. What's your beef with Stonesy?
I don't really have any.
Okay.
Just in that moment, I did.
Right.
Jack, where are you going?
Seamus Coleman is leading my bachelor party.
Seamus Coleman?
Yeah.
Big Irish friend of yours?
Yeah, you know, the lads. You know.
By the way, Jack is Irish despite his accent. I don't think he's ever been to Ireland.
And a couple of weeks ago, we went to Millwall Everton, and Seamus Coleman smiled at Jack as he walked in the door, and Jack melted.
It was a big moment for me. He actually said, "How are you?" That was it. As
soon as a crush more than anything.
He recognised the heritage.
He saw the black hair, blue eyes, and went, "He's one of mine."
I think it was Coleman lead you out. Who else are you going with?
Seamus Coleman's going to lead the lads out. I wanted Benjamin Mendy, but he seems to have been stolen. I think I'd have Samuel Umtiti because he also looks like he'd be great fun on a bachelor party. Yeah. I've got a really solid back two there. I might pick a left back.
You don't have to play 5-a-side in the bachelor, mate. You're going out drinking.
Do you need to think about the dynamic? Do you need a kind guy who's going to...
No, that's Seamus.
Just pick one of the Fulham lads.
Oh, actually, you know,
You might go off, so you might need someone to back you up.
I'd have Alexander Mitrovic.
He tends to go off on a bachelor party.
Having Mitrovic in your pack is a good shout.
He also just looks like he's really friendly, as in apart from the defenders.
Yeah.
He's not that friendly.
But I think Mitrovic would be great crack on a bachelor party. He's apparently one of the jokers in the dressing room. That's a word out of the Fulham camp. So
that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good three. That'd be my three.
Where are you going, Joey?
Joe Hart, who's always good fun. He's always up for a laugh.
Is he as mad as everyone says he is?
Yeah.
Does he really smash lockers and stuff before the game?
I think goalkeepers are, anyway.
Do you have to be? Goalkeepers insane.
I would imagine, yeah. All the goalkeepers I've played with are a little bit different in their mindset.
Bit different.
You're willing to get hit in the face?
I'm not. Yeah, like 70 miles an hour by a ball.
From 2 yards away? Like, that's not for me, that. So, yeah, you've got to be a little bit crazy to do that. To want that, I'll go for players that I don't know and that look fun from a distance. Let's go for Marcelo.
Yeah, that's a good show.
He looks the Brazilians. I know I've played with some Brazilian lads. Yeah,
they know how to have a good time.
Yeah, yeah, they could get at it. so he looks crazy. He looks like he just literally would just get up. Let's go out right now. Come back in. 2 hours sleep. Let's go out again. So I'd say Marcelo. We need half sensible now. We've got two crazy guys.
What are you, by the way? Are you sensible? Are you crazy?
I can supervise. I can see.
You can't supervise your own bachelor party.
Yeah, but when I see it coming, I can turn it down. Let's go, Messi. We're not struggling to get in anywhere then, are we?
You're going to get a good table.
Yeah. And it could be free as well, so yeah.
Would be.
Yeah, so let's...
He'd probably pay for it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If it's not free, he's good. I know he's good for it.
Yeah, cover the bases.
The only bad thing about that would be everyone's taking photos of your bachelor party. Everyone's seeing Messi and like getting pictures all night.
Yeah, but then that means Joe can just be crazy and no one's
going in the background.
That's true, you can just hide in the background.
Me, Joe and Marcelo can just do what we do. Messi's the distraction.
They are. It's a sensible strategy. Yeah. I see what you mean about FIFA strategies now. You've got it all laid out well in advance. All right, Sam, spin the wheel.
You get your first coaching job. What is your ideal formation? It's a very serious question, isn't it?
It's a serious question.
Very serious question.
Quite like it. You've thought about this before anyway. Of course you have. I think you're a coach.
I'm pausing to make it look like I haven't immediately just gone, well, obviously I go for 4-3-3. I've been wedded to it in my mind for about 10 years. I would always try and go 4-3-3. Look, you've got to be a little bit flexible, as Sarri has found out over the last 6 months or so, and he showed the Carabao Cup final that you can be flexible and you can make tweaks. So you can't just go, look, we're playing 4-3-3, we're doing this. But the base system needs to be in place, the base identity needs to be in place, and it's always going to have a midfield three, one striker, roaming fullbacks. That's the way all of my teams would play. Jack, I'm pretty sure you're going to agree, and you're going to use the word Cruyff.
He's absolutely nailed it. Yeah, we've become a little bit predictable every time. Yeah, I'm also wedded to the Cruyffian 4-3-3. I like it a lot. It's the only way to play football, if I'm perfectly honest. Yeah, I mean, for all the reasons you've just said, I like the tactical flexibility that allows you. I like that man dropping in, the six dropping in between the centre halves to allow the fullbacks to push on. All of the things that I enjoy watching in football are the things I'd be trying to implement. Does this mean my team would concede a lot of goals? Almost certainly. But on the flip side, we'd have a great laugh. So that's where I'd be going. Jolyon?
Yeah, similar. I've just never been able to do certain things and limited capabilities as a forward player. I'd love wingers. I just love watching wingers run at fullbacks. And even, funny enough, even when I played fullback, that was kind of the thing I enjoyed the most, was facing wingers one-on-one. I enjoyed that.
It was a one-on-one challenge.
Yeah, just one-on-one. Mm. Just... can you cope? Kind of thing. So I didn't mind that. But yeah, similar 4-3-3. I think that's the go-to now. And if you get the right players in that formation, as Man City showed, then it's very hard to beat.
Any wingers in particular that got the better of you in 1v1s? Anyone you remember?
Yeah, many of them. Pace, really. Mm. Aaron Lennon.
He was so fast.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like now, Adama Traore at Wolves. I was with him at Villa. He's the fastest player I've ever seen. Like, I didn't know you could run that fast. Mm. But it wasn't that he was that fast. It seemed like Aaron Lennon. Literally, as soon as he starts running, he's flat out. So one step, one stride into the movement, they're as fast as they can go. Where most players, it's like 3 or 4. It's too late.
Yeah.
Anyway, because if their top speed's faster than yours and then they're hitting it straight away.
Yeah, so what do you do? As a defender?
Foul him. Drop. Hold your hand off. Say he's offside. Play it.
Just hope for the best.
Yeah, just hope so.
Hope he has a bad touch at the end of it.
Were there any sprint like timing tests and stuff at Villa with 100 metres and stuff? Like, did you ever get a time on Adama's speed?
No.
He's the fastest man, though, isn't he, in English football or something?
I would bet he is, yeah.
He's ridiculous. He is ridiculous how fast he is.
No, I just wondered if we got like a... should he actually be an Olympian?
Yeah, I've seen an article on, and he is something like...
I'm not sure.
Up with those speeds.
Yeah, about to say, yeah. But there's a young boy from City just went to Schalke, Robin Mofuto.
Yeah.
And he's 18.
Wait, faster?
He's fast. He recorded the fastest time at Man City last season.
Really?
He was training, but they said if he was a registered Premier League player... it would have been the fastest time recorded in the Premier League last season.
Mental.
Who was that? Was it Matondo?
Yeah, yeah. Rabi, yeah. He kind of, I think it was 37 kilometres. He touched the speed. But yeah, he's lightning. Lightning.
I would go 3-4-1-2, by the way.
The Wolves.
Yeah, and I just want to see more examples. I just want to see more examples of two strikers going up against defenders, because no one really does it anymore. And I don't think enough young defenders have been tested against two-man attacks, so I just don't think a lot of them are going to be able to handle it, because they're so used to having one solo striker in the middle there. If it's a flat four, then you've got them both having to mark someone. If it's a three, deciding who's going to mark, I just reckon that's going to throw up a few headaches. Frankfurt play that formation a lot of the time that I've seen them, and they're having great joy with it, and I just really like the movement that you get with a man just behind as well.
Yeah, I get that, and I do agree that not enough teams play it to help develop players, but three at the back, the pace now that most teams have, you just get punished. You end up with three at the back and you get punished, or your wing back's dropped so deep it's five and then
you're trapped.
So in regards to the two up front, yes, but the three at the back.
Did you experience that shift between formations, and how different is it playing in a 4, a 5 and a 3, I suppose?
Different. The first real formation change I noticed was at Wolves under Glenn Hoddle, who still, for me, is the best coach, manager I worked with. We played Ipswich, and they was playing 3-5-2 at the time in the championship, and they'd been doing well playing it. And we had we just moved to a 4-3-3, and he literally said to our three up top, "Do not come back." Like, and I was like, "What?" He said to our winger, "Stay on the touchline and do not come back. When you get the ball, run at the because the centre halves won't want to go out wide. It'll end up with the fullbacks,
yeah.
The wing backs dropping deep." He said, "But do not come back." I was like, "Okay, okay, well, that's a new one." 20 minutes in, we're 3-0 up or something like that, and then at half time they're making two subs. They've changed the formation. I was like, "Oh my god, formations really do matter." And I was like, obviously I'd played games to understand football, but that was just crazy to see that. And also when I was at City, Roberto Martinez, another one that was just like crazy. They it was the year they beat us in the FA Cup, Wigan. So it was the year they went down, but 3 weeks before the game, the FA Cup, we played them in the league and we beat them 1-0 from Carlos Tevez's goal, won the goal. But they like battered us. And literally they had 4-4-2, kind of, but their two up front weren't strikers, they were wingers. And they literally said to the wingers, "Don't come back. Stand on the corners." So when we break, we was like attacking, and then
there's two men up there.
Yeah, but I don't want to be out there. I'm not trying to, and leave all that space in the middle of the pitch. It was literally Callum McManaman. I remember Gale going forward on the side of the dugout, and Callum McManaman's gone to track him, and Roberto Martinez literally said, "Stay up. Do not go up there." So they had one in the middle, and they were just there. I'm like, so much space. So you don't have to be getting every time, but you're going to get in once.
Yeah.
And just have to make
just
it
just giving people something to think about.
Yeah. So there was kind of the two times I was like, tactically, yeah, that was different. Mm.
All right. Well, that's roulette lockdown for this week. We've just got time quickly for Sam's nonsense rankings. Don't go anywhere. Sam, do you want to kick us off with your nonsense rankings?
Oh, you're in for a treat this week. Absolute treat.
You say that every week.
Well, you're all, okay. Well, I treat you regularly. I have ranked planet Earth's top three most difficult opponents if they entered an intersolar football tournament.
What?
And had to play away games on different planets.
Well, it's going to take me 15 minutes to work out what you just said, so I don't know if we've got time for it.
Just do it.
So, it's an honourable mention to Mars. Obviously, it's a local derby, so form book goes out the window. And I'd just like to point out as well that Pluto would be an easy... They'd be the whipping boys of the group because they're an absolute Mickey Mouse planet.
They're not a planet.
What is it, a star?
It's got removed from planet status like 5 years ago.
All right, we'll take that one out then. Okay. Into number three, Saturn. They'll run rings around you.
Oh my God.
That said, with more than 60 moons orbiting that planet, what a magical night under the lights that would be. In at two, Mercury, because they play liquid football. And those playing conditions of 800 degrees Fahrenheit, you're going to struggle in those. One Mercury day is over 50 Earth days. So away fans would have to book 2 months off work to come and see you. So I don't think you're going to get much in terms of away end atmosphere either.
Mate, I'm going to send you to Mars in a minute if you carry this on. Go on.
I think this is the best thing you've ever done. And then some distance.
And in at number one is Venus. Literally a pressure cooker atmosphere. That's 96% carbon dioxide. And even if you manage to negotiate that, you're looking at a very dry desertscape interspersed with slab-like rocks, which would make for an incredibly difficult surface to play on. So if you were thinking you'd lead this team...
Just get Big Sam up there, long ball up top.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're thinking you'd get Pep Guardiola to lead this Earth team, I think you should probably maybe look at the Sam Allardyce, Tony Pulis mould. And what I would like to finish on, as I would say, that no matter what you think of these games, every matchup would be out of this world.
Oh my goodness. I think we have to fire you. What do you reckon, Jack?
No, I think that's the
you
best.
Like it,
that's
don't
the
you?
Best thing he's ever done.
Only because he's rhyming distance. And doing some alliteration and stuff. He's going to nick your job off you at the start.
He's playing to the crowd. He's playing his audience. He knows exactly what's on. Well, thank you, Sam. I was going to say, I think, thank you, but actually, thank you. That was excellent. Yeah. That's us all thanks, wrapped up this week. And all that's left for me to do is say thank you so much to everyone. First and foremost, Jolien Lescott, who has regaled us with much laughter in the studio today. Thanks also to you, dude. Thanks, DJ.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
I've been Jack Collins. Remember to get involved in all things
Champions Pod using the hashtag BRFootballRanks. Get the three of us on Instagram. Get involved with sending in questions for hot takes and roulette. Get involved with the poll, which goes up on my Twitter every week. It gets retweeted off the BR Football account. If you haven't already, also make sure that you've downloaded the BR app, which is the go-to place for all the best sports and culture content. It's genuinely brilliant and I can't recommend it enough. Keep sharing the pod, keep telling your friends. The rank squad keeps growing and we can't get enough of that. Keep an eye out soon for some big news from us. Big love as ever, rank squad. See you next week.